we go. Let them in, Sean. Here they come now. By the way, the horses now are going to be put into the position to help out with the know-it-all quiz as well. Apparently, that's a new idea. Here they come. There is Lady Treasure and Sir Captain Mumblemouth. And here they come. Bring that microphone in a little closer because I think the teeny tiny lady, there she is. And she's coming in with, guy, we didn't even have it on the air yet. This is Newsom's recall ad guy. Hold on, listen, teeny tiny, listen in.
You remind me of the guy in high school who took my girlfriend.
Okay.
You still think you're better than everyone else?
The answer is yes.
Even now you live by different rules.
Right.
You close tiny coffee shops while you ate dinner at the fanciest restaurant. $12,000 for wine.
Yum.
Wow. Gavin Newsom in trouble. Diving in the news. Hey, congratulations, CBS. What a great story. And as I guess that comes from the White House. But folks, let's not concentrate on anything else happening. Look out. The white supremacists are still out there. They're going to come get you because they're now cheering. The white supremacists are cheering what's happening in Afghanistan. Good story. Who pushed that? Did that come out of the White House? By the way, here are the numbers for you on how many people and how many hate crimes happened after 9/11 in 2001. So over a 10-year period, the FBI looked at from 2000 on, there were 6 per 100,000 hate crimes. Hate crime could also include thought crime against Muslims. There's 6 on 100 per 100,000. Right, there were 28 in the year 2000. There were 481 in 2001. That was a spike attributed to 9/11 backlash. But by 2002, had dropped down to 155, went 115, 107 by 2009. It went back up again in 2010 to 160. So this idea that there was this huge backlash, let's remember that there are 330 million of us living in this country. The fact that, what was there, 400 and some hate crimes against Muslims in 2001? That's a lot of crazy people in the United States. Doesn't seem to be a gigantic backlash. So CBS Radio, interesting story. White supremacists celebrating what's happening in Afghanistan and are concerned that they're going to also be upset about people coming to the United States. Again, let's look over here, everybody. Look over here. Don't look over here at the fact that Joe Biden's poll numbers are 35% with independents, that COVID is still going, that inflation is increasing. Let's not look at that. Let's talk about the scary white supremacists that are right around the corner, ready to go after some Afghans that are coming here to this country. Nicely done, CBS. Okay, that's enough. That wasn't necessarily part of anybody's rundown. Sorry about that, Jacob, but I just thought I'd look those numbers up. I love when they do those types of stories, so it's always nice to be able to throw a couple of numbers in there to give some perspective. All right. By the way, one other thing is the president is speaking or has spoken. This is a taped piece regarding 9/11. President Biden has to say,
to the families of the 2,977 people from more than 90 nations killed on September 11th, 2001 in New York City, Arlington, Virginia, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the 1,000 more who were injured. America and the world commemorate you and your loved ones, the pieces of your soul. We honor all those who risked and gave their lives in the minutes, hours, months, and years afterwards. The firefighters, police officers, EMTs and construction workers, and doctors and nurses, faith leaders, service members, veterans, and all of the everyday people who gave their all to rescue, recover, and rebuild. But it's so hard, whether it's the first year or the 20th. And so on this day, Jill and I hold you close in our hearts and send you our love. There are people around the world that you'll never know who are suffering through their own losses, who see you, your courage. Your courage gives them courage that they, too, can get up and keep going.
All right, and one more piece from the president. It's long, Jacob.
We saw a national unity bend. We learned that unity is the one thing that must never break. Unity is what makes us who we are, America at its best. To me, that's the central lesson of September 11th. It's that at our most vulnerable, in the push and pull of all that makes us human, in the battle for the soul of America, unity is our greatest strength. Hope allows us to act with courage, to act and honor those we lost 20 years ago, and those who have given their whole souls to the cause of this nation every day since. To act and build a future, not a reactionary one or one based on fear, but a future of promise, strength, and grace worthy of their dreams and sacrifice. And to act and keep the faith that while life is fragile, it is truly something wonderful. As my friend told me that September 20 years ago, we must not be afraid. May God bless you all. May God bless the lives lost since September 11th, 2001, and their loved ones that were left behind. And may God protect our troops.
The empathetic president.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I don't normally write stuff for the show, but Sherry, my brother called me this morning. We were talking, and I had been sitting there reading the Wall Street Journal, and he says to me, Chuck, so here's what I wrote. Because I was going to send him this. My brother has a thing that he talks to me for only 5 minutes, and then he says, you know what, I'm getting hot ear. Hot ear is where he's on the phone too long, and then he just hangs up on you. So that's something my mother invented, and you'd be in midstream of something. So I had a fever of like 101, and then my mom's like, I got hot ear, and she hangs up. So my brother kept this going, and he gave me the hot ear, and he hung up. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But here's what I wrote. This is about September 11th. And so my brother called to tell me that he doesn't think Tom Brady has been vaccinated. Chuck, who is a highly compensated lawyer, and with good reason, revels in the dissection of quotes. From memory, he was able to quote what the 45-year-old Marvel had said. I had little concern or knowledge for what he was telling me. I was about to give him hot ear and hang up. I changed the subject to, have you read anything in the Wall Street Journal today about the 20th anniversary of 9/11? I sheepishly admitted I can barely get it through a single story without a catch in my throat. I don't understand why so much attention is dedicated to those who died, my brother said. And he's not a heartless individual. People somewhere in Kansas on that day also died of heart attacks and strokes. I interjected that it's how the people died on September 11th in New York and Shanksville and Arlington, not the heart attacks in Kansas, that was newsworthy. He said, yes, but it's not newsworthy anymore. I believe the stories miss the eyes of the reader because it reveals our powerlessness to the truth of life. Take the monument at Ground Zero. Have you ever been there, Sherry?
I have not been there.
Okay, I recommend it. The names that are there for us more than for those that are inscripted. For the living that run their fingertips over the edged Optimum font, the massive ink black granite screams, this is you. You went to work. You put two creams in your coffee. You stopped to collect a $1 bet because you knew the Jets would lose even with the point spread. You, whose back was turned on the 78th floor, never saw it coming. We are okay with death as long as one can be with something so final and so intractable. It's acceptable when it makes sense because it reinforces the illusion that there is order first, then occasional chaos in life. We all agree that the old die, that cancer kills, so does speed, and let's not forget anger and jealousy. But really, there is no order. It's just one thing that becomes common. And in its commonality, there is acceptance. Life is random. For some, it is too brief. For all, sometimes we really have no control over. We can eat our vegetables. We can buckle our seatbelts. We can look both ways when we cross the street. But something can fall from the sky, escape from a lab. And the illusion of order, like smoke, thins out to reveal that chaos is always there, waiting, just waiting. And when I read the articles in the Wall Street Journal, I think about these people, that the suddenness of it all being gone. And I think the feeling, like I have this sort of feeling of falling. It's a sense of like, yeah, that unfortunately is life, right? The chaotic nature of life is always there. But in that case, we got to see it so revealed because those people went to work that day not expecting anything other than an ordinary day, right? A beautiful Tuesday. There was clear skies, 8:37 a.m., the first plane crashes. And I think that's, I think when you see it happen right in front of you, the chaotic nature of life revealed, I think that's the thing that really shakes people. And still, hopefully, you know, when you go to a monument or something, or you watch it or read these stories, I believe that's the thing that touches the soul, that how completely powerless we are to whatever happens in the world.
It's so true. And we all have experiences in our lives where someone dies suddenly, someone that's too young to die, or yep. someone that we didn't know was sick died all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But the scope of this, to have so many people die at once, and so many people fall victim to this, and then the stories as they unraveled. I can remember sitting at my kitchen table. I love what you wrote, by the way. It's truly beautiful. I can remember sitting at the table and feeling like I'd gotten better. Like I was really scared because it happened so close to where I live, and you know, there was a lot of chaos, and I was really worried that something else would happen in the subsequent days. But I was reading in the Post, and it was about the people that had left messages on their loved ones' answering machines, knowing they were going to die.
Yeah.
And it was things like, I'm not going to make this. Please have a happy life. I mean, just heart-wrenching, you know, hard to imagine what that must have felt like, to know that that person knew that was it for them, and their last moments were trying to console someone else, saying, I want you to be okay. I want you to take care of the kids. Please know that I'll always love you. I mean, it was just overwhelming to me to read these excerpts from what people had left on voicemails.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's the randomness of it. It reminds us all too clearly how fragile we are, and how we don't have control over anything. We just don't know.
But
you can't choose your own sunset, as they say.
No. I read a great piece, Peggy Noonan, today or yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. I recommend it if you get a chance to read it. She talked about the fact that it was the first time ever that she'd been writing columns for the Wall Street Journal, that really this is the beginning of the internet. And she goes, I could write a column and people could write me back. She goes, never, you know, before you didn't have that, but then you were able to write to Peggy Noonan at WSJ, you know, .com. She said, so I'd send something out and I'd get something back. I'd send something out and get it back. And people were sending me stories. And now all of a sudden I had this dialogue with other people that were experiencing not only what I had written, but then what they had as well. And she said, and it created, you know, this tapestry of experiences shared. And one of them was really incredible. It was a guy that worked as a telephone repairman who was working, I think he was from Queens, and he was there and got caught in the wind. It was somebody's business card, and it had floated down and got caught, and then it floated over, and he found it from where he was, and he picked it up, and he looked at it, and he held it, and he saw that where the address was there at the World Trade Center. And he proceeded to call the number over and over and over again to see if the woman was alive. And he called and called and called and called for a couple of days. And then she answered. And he said, I got your business card. I just wanted to see if you were okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, just the way people's lives intersected with each other during that whole time. It's there's never been anything like it. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I was, it was probably around 10:30 in the morning. I mean, I had to pull away from the TV for a little while 20 years ago. And I was on the phone with a woman that was the editor of a magazine. I think she's still there in Seattle. And they had done a small article on me and a little something. And then somebody, they put the article in there, whatever the month was, July. And then in August, they had letters to the editor. And in the letters to the editor, somebody had written, I cannot believe, I'm so disappointed that you did a feature on John Curley. And then with that, the person listed like seven things that weren't true that made me out to be a really horrible person. I mean, each one of them could have easily been fact-checked to find not true, didn't do that, didn't do that, didn't do that, didn't do that. I mean, just outrageous stuff. And who read the, nobody read the letters to the editor, but I was so upset by it. I'd just gotten it like the day before. I called her up. I think her name is Rachel. And I'm on the phone going, why do you print the letter to the editor? None of that stuff is true. And she goes, we don't edit letters. I said, but some reason, but if somebody had said seven horrible things about you, Would you just let that go? Would you let that go on the go in the letter to the editor? I'm sure nobody reads a letter to the editors in your magazine, or maybe they do because there's some reason you put it in there, and you list these things, and you put it in there, and you didn't fact check it. You could have called me. You could have. And I'm right in the middle of this, like, kind of unleashing on this woman, and then all of a sudden I just stopped and I said, you know what? Who cares? She said, what? I said, who cares? I mean, who cares?
Right.
Really? Today? With what happened? Who cares? And there's just like a really uncomfortable silence. I said, really, with the way the world is? And I mean, you know what? You know what? Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. I feel so stupid having called you. You know what? Never mind. Goodbye. 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 It was the weirdest feeling.
Right.
Because all
of
a sudden I was into this normal thing. And I was outside, and all of a sudden I just thought, the whole world feels like it's changed.
Yeah, it was a heaping dose of perspective.
Ugh. Trying to keep that every day. It's hard. All righty. By the way, we'll get back to why my brother thinks that Tom Brady didn't get vaccinated.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. By the way, how about that game? Did you watch that yesterday? Did anybody watch that? I know Hannah probably watched. Doing charity work.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Tracy Taylor, did you watch?
I watched a little bit of it, enough to where he started just throwing kind of random passes, and I'm like, wait, what just happened? Why? What's going on? Is this really a football game? So.
Oh, okay. And then I think he had 5 random touchdowns as well. So.
Yeah, that's too.
All right, God. Well, that's the truth right there. Buggy's Buggy's Auto Service Centers. They are 16 locations that you can go to. They've been around for 51 years. And the birthday's coming up in March, so let's get ready to celebrate that, Sean. Buggy's Auto Service Centers. I have 3 cars, and all of them broke down. So I have a motorcycle now, and I've really realized when you have 3 cars, you tend to let them all kind of go to hell. And then take them to Buggy's Auto Service Centers. Take them to hell first, then take them to Buggy's Auto Service Centers. The heat in hell has a big effect upon the paint, though, I got to warn you. All righty. It is amazing. It just starts to slowly break down, and then you're like, okay, I think I'm... Do I have 1 car that'll start? so sad.
1 down, 2 to go.
Yeah, they're like, well, that one doesn't go. Okay, Microsoft says they're going to return U.S. offices. They're going to be delayed, oh my gosh, indefinitely. We were told that you're going to go back to work, and now how long is indefinitely?
Well, they're waiting for guidance, they say, public health guidance on when it's safe to return. They're going to give people a 30-day transition period.
Okay.
So you'll have 30 days, I guess, to get out of your pajamas and get your clothes with the zipper on to go back to work. But this is happening with Apple, Facebook, Amazon. They're all saying not till next year. Originally, Microsoft said that they would have people come back in September. Then they pushed it to October 4th. And now they're saying, nope, we don't have any idea. We're not going to commit.
Wow. I talked to somebody, and I won't say where they work, but they told me yesterday it's a big company in Seattle. And they said they went into work and somebody were at home. And the managers then decided you will be full time. You will be split shift, 2 days here, 3 days at home. And this group over here will be able to work from home. It's like, well, how did they determine that? She said, I don't know. The managers determine these people need to be here in office. These people don't. These little piggies stay home. These little piggies had none. So. I was like, wow, imagine the managers and the pressure on the managers to start to make those decisions, who comes in full-time and who doesn't. And that is you want to be able to have a choice to be able to say, whoa, 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 hold on a second. I want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Somebody saying, I want to come in?
Well, it's just bizarre that we have these options at all. I mean, there was never an option before. You went to work. I mean, you got up, you put your clothes on, you got in your car, if it worked, and you went to work. And now, you know, there's all these, you know, who's going to stay home, who's not going to stay home, who's going to be remote, who's going to be on Zoom. I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
The question, another one came up, is if you never met your coworkers, do you even work there? And if you've never met your coworkers in person, Did you even work there? That doesn't seem fair. Yeah, you worked there. You just never met them. You still probably had some sort of relationship with them over the phone, right?
Yeah, but this article is talking about how people that don't see anybody, that don't have any personal connection with them, you know, just over Zoom, they've never met them in person or been able to shake their hand, that they feel no real attachment to the company. So they're finding that a lot of people just quit and they don't feel bad about it. They don't feel like, oh, gosh, I kind of let them down, because it's all, you know, telework.
Yes.
And so it's a lot easier to leave. The other side of that is apparently it's a lot easier to fire somebody, too, because you haven't made that personal connection. So if you only see somebody on a screen, you're not going to have that pull where, gosh, I know they've got, you know, three kids and I saw them, you know, bringing in their lunch every day. None of that. It's also impersonal right now that people aren't finding that, you know, that emotional connectedness to people.
You and I have not seen each other for how long? 10 years?
Right. Yeah, probably.
I'd say I love this relationship. I don't know. I mean, you could have been badly burned in a freak fertilizer accident. I have no idea. And
right.
This is, yeah. And you don't even know what Jacob or Sean, you don't remember what those guys look like.
Well, I don't think they existed when I met you. I mean, they probably were somewhere, but
they're not
young. I don't know. I didn't meet them. Yeah, but I still feel connected. I still feel, you know, that we have enough conversations and things like that that I would feel something if I didn't talk to you guys anymore.
Yeah, whether you got that email earlier today. But hey, listen, wow, awkward. Does Tracy have traffic? Is she doing an extended report? I told this story once on the radio, and Tom loved it because he said, always make a movie of it. These two people met online, and they ended up, you know, kind of doing that old, you know, pen pal thing. And they fell in love online, back and forth. And they both agreed that they would not see what each other look like. They said, why? And they're going back. Why is it so important that some physical looks have some sort of effect on? Why can't, look at this. I love you. I love you. I love your soul. I love everything and everything I know about you. And you're telling me these stories about what you were in second grade and this and that. And you know all about this and you know about me. And the two of us deeply, deep, as deep as anyone could possibly be, with text messages. You know, if you think about like people sending letters back and forth, love letters that are waited to be opened. And they decided that they would meet. I think they met somewhere outside of Pittsburgh somewhere, and they said, we will not look at one another. But they were madly, madly, madly in love with each other, and they both agreed to keep blindfolds on. So the guy arrived first at the hotel and put a blindfold on. She then arrived, she knocks on the door, puts a blindfold on. So both of them are blindfolded, and they've really secured the blindfolds because they're going to go at it like cats, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get there and they just go absolutely nuts with one another, and it's all of the pent-up love and desire and passion and everything you could possibly imagine with two blindfolds on, and they're just absolutely ravaged each other. And in the morning, they're still blindfolded, they're sitting on the edge of the bed. And they're talking about how much they love one another and how great this is. And they can't wait, you know, as they really fully embrace the fact that they have discovered each other and they have, you know, consummated this relationship with blindfolds on. They take the blindfolds off and both of them are sincerely disappointed. They then sex again, but only sort of like, hey, we're not really caught up in looks, are we? Hey, Bayside Medical, help. And that was the end of the relationship.
Wow. Well, so much for all that love and soulmate thing, right?
Hi, everybody. I'm John Curley. For blindfolds that don't come off when you're in a hotel room. Yeah.
You really can't go wrong with that.
That's a two-bagger. You know what the two-bagger was?
Yeah, in case one bag breaks.
There you go.
Tracy.
Sherry, you are horrible. All right? I'm glad they fired you. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic. All right, here we go. Thanks, everybody, for writing. Sean, again, if you're new to the show, Sean has trouble with this. This is the Mailman song. And, yeah. Sean, it's a Friday, so do what you... It's totally up to you. You can play as much or as little as you want. It's
really?
Your... Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Sure. It's a Friday. There we are, Sean. Good. That's good. All right. We'll get to letter of the day, but first, let's take care of all the rest. Here we go.
9/11 anniversary, area code 253. It feels different because we did not handle this war the same way we handled World War II. Hmm. I know it sounds incredibly harsh by today's standards, but we should have handled it in the same way and it would be over. You must remember, we didn't start this.
206 says, I lived a few blocks from the Space Needle on 9/11. We went to my sister's house in Puyallup. We didn't know if the needle was a target.
Area code 360 says, I was at work listening to it via live via the Howard Stern show in Chehalis.
Yeah,
Chehalis. Mm-hmm. Howard did a phenomenal job covering it.
Yeah, 425 says, please, can you post the prose that John wrote so that each of us can find it and read it?
Oh, that's a good idea.
We're working on it.
I sent it to Jacob. I don't, there's spelling and there's no punctuation. Jacob's got to get a chunk of the Rosetta Stone. 206. John, book on tape recommended Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close by Jonathan Safran. About a boy whose dad was killed in 9/11 attack really speaks to what you were expressing. Okay, I will check that out. Thank you.
John almost dying. Kyle mm-hmm. in Olympia says, it is warm. Mm-hmm. You smell pretty bad pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Someone will notice, but your yes. dogs will probably roll in you, so you have that going for you.
Okay, that's if I died. Okay. 206 says, we left a ceramic plate on the glass cooktop with the burner on. Whoops! Shattered into a million pieces. Dogs ate us.
Michael in 206 says, I'm sure your neighbor Dougie would come by to throw some 22 rounds on the fire and find you in a day or so.
That's right. 425, hey, John, just to let you know, your dogs wouldn't eat you. They would rather die next to you. Cats, on the other hand, would eat you gladly. So be happy that you have two dogs. Okay. Thank you.
Meditation for kids. Area code 206 says, well, Mr. Curley, straws mm-hmm. are banned. I don't know how else to make a spitball go without throwing it.
Yeah, that was you throwing spitballs. 425, TM, Transcendental Meditation. I use it to bring my heart rate down. No cult.
Okay. 206 says, my 2.5-year-old plays the violin. Why can't a child meditate?
Okay, well, that's, you know what? You threw that in there. It's a humble brag on your part, right? What else does your 2-year-old do? Fidgeters 425 says, my son does it constantly. He was diagnosed with ADHD at 3. He'll be 33 years old tomorrow. Oh, good.
Area code 253 says, sounds like that study was done so he could tell his girlfriend that she was the one with the problem.
That's right. 360. No, Sherry. Bouncy foot is not the same as smacking their lips. I can hear a smacker 100 yards away and will hunt them down, embarrass your gross self. Close your mouth, people.
Area code 509 says, John,
yes.
My friend does that same humming thing all the time, but he's way more neurotic than Tom seems.
Oh, yes. By the way, we will be taping that for Tom. Let's see, John, just for John.
That still managed to be more melodic than Tom's, I think.
Oh, my God. The random notes. If you had to choose random notes. Jeez. Here we go.
Biden's vaccine mandate, area code 206 says, so who's going to oversee OSHA to make sure they're following the guidelines?
Aha, 425, over 650,000 dead in a year and a half, and that's not an emergency? Come on, let's get real.
206 says, John knows this will end up eating up media coverage for a few weeks to distract from his other failures like Afghanistan.
And 360 says, it isn't about hospital beds, it's about staff. And Inslee is intent on lowering that number again with his mandate. Oh, boy.
206 says, does your friend have the antibodies to the Alpha variant, the Delta variant, the NU variant, or are those antibodies for the new mutation that the COVID virus is working on as we speak? Mm. The more unvaccinated people that are out there, the more humans COVID has to build a mutation that will eventually overcome your friend's antibodies to the Alpha variant and every vaccine that's been put in people's arms so far. It's not if, but when.
Aha. Good to hear from a scientist like that. Ray-Bans 206 says, I would like to point out that $299 is the price of normal Ray-Bans. So this pair, you get that pair, plus you get two cameras and a microphone and a giant on-air.
And
light.
Now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day. Sherry, it's all you, my friend. Here, bring it on.
All right. Area code 360 says, I worked with a guy that would whistle. Four notes, four, over and over and over. I don't think he knew what he was doing it, mainly when he was walking somewhere. Uh-huh. Rick, if you're listening, just stop.
Yeah. Rick, you know who you are.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't
Rick,
write
stop
more.
It.
She left the
Sherry, let's repeat ourselves. Ready?
Yep.
Three, two, one.